I've been preaching for, this is 3 weeks now, from one little passage in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Of course, Isaiah was 7 centuries or so before Christ, but he gave a prophetic word to a king named Ahaz that I believe had a dual fulfillment. Number one, he was speaking, I think, of a future king after Ahaz named Hezekiah. But yet Hezekiah couldn't fulfill all of this amazing prophetic word. So I think it was ultimately fulfilled in the coming of Jesus himself. So let's read this passage one more time. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Can we say amen? First Sunday, I talked about Jesus being the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one that we can go to, and he's the one who defends us. Last week, I talked about him being the Mighty God, that Jesus is God in the flesh, fully God, fully man, true light from true light, true God from true God. If you remember the last week, I brought out the old statement of the Nicene Creed. And so today I want to focus on this term, Everlasting Father. And as I looked at that, I thought, wow, you know, I had an idea of what it was about. But then as I got into Scripture, it came alive. And I tried to lay my bias aside and read Scripture with an unbiased eye, which is difficult for us, but we need to. And let the Scripture speak to me. And here's what I think is going on, just in short. I really don't believe that Isaiah had a view of the Trinity in mind. I think that revelation comes later in the New Testament. And I don't think he's speaking to that. But what I think he is saying is that this person who's coming, who will be the Messiah, will have fatherly characteristics, number one. He will be, in Hebrew, meaning forever, unending, of, meaning father. He'll be a father who is ever-ending, never-ending, forever in existence. And then I think it speaks something of the Messiah being the one who will show us the Father. Because Jesus is the one who shows us the Father. In the New Testament, I think it was surprising to the Jews of his day how Jesus taught about his relationship with the Father. He prayed to the Father. And I think it was quite surprising. And for us, you know, it's interesting here at Christmas season to think about the Father, because we're always focused on the Son, but yet the Son reveals the Father. And even in natural relationships, when I think about Christmas, I think about my dad, and I have wonderful parents. They raised us in just a great manner. But yet at Christmas time, it always seems to me that my dad, he got like the least gift of all. He got the billfold. We're getting toys and mom's getting stuff and dad gets a billfold, a tie, a common. You know, I couldn't hide my emotions or feelings back then like I can't today. And so I'd bring my dad a gift, you know, it'd be like billfold wrapped up. And I'd say, "What do you think it is?" And he'd shake it and he'd say, "It's a billfold." And I'd just have to walk out because I would start laughing and I would give it away. But really what we learned was that Christmas, in my family at least, was about what he provided. He made it happen. He really made Christmas happen. And then he worked his fingers to the bone, day and night, so that we could be provided for as a family. And he did an amazing job at that. So I want us to look at that, how the Father is revealed in Scripture today. Okay, so let me just dig into this. First of all, Jesus reveals the Father to us. He said in John 10, "I and the Father are one. Know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Then in John 14, he says, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know who I am?" Philip, talking to one of the disciples, he said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" So when we look at Jesus, we see the perfect image of the Father God. He alone makes the Father known. And he even said in John 14, no one can come to the Father except through him. He is a perfect representation of our Father. Amen? There should be a song written like, He's a Good, Good Father or something like that, because it's that true. Amen? How many can lift your hand and say, He is a good, good Father? I know He is. He is a good, good Father. Often on planet Earth, this isn't, you know, represented very well, and some people have a negative view of fatherhood because of the relationship they've had with their father. You know, in America, there's something like 70 million fathers, and many of them are doing incredible jobs, like many of you guys out there this morning. You're just knocking it out of the park. You know that 2 million of the fathers in the nation are single? You know that 214,000 are stay-at-home dads? Hallelujah. I think it's great. But yet we see negative statistics of those who are raised in a dysfunctional relationship with their father or raised without a father. The statistics are really bad. I mean, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. It's five times the average. 85% of all children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. And I got a list. I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to focus on that. But I want us to look at this. No matter how bad your relationship with your father was, you have a heavenly Father who is a perfect Father. No matter how much your dad wasn't there, you have a heavenly Father who's always there. No matter how much your dad didn't care or didn't understand, you have a heavenly Father that cares beyond our understanding. And He's always concerned about every need in your life. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. And you know what? The Father gave the greatest thing He could give on Christmas. He gave His Son. He didn't give an angel. He didn't give just the seraphim. He didn't give somebody else to go die for us. No, He gave His best. He gave His Son, the one attached to Him in a mystic mystery, mystical Trinitarian union that I can't figure out. I can't wait to see God when I get to heaven. I'm honest with you. It's one of the I don't think about mansions and stuff like that. I think about, I want to see God, because I've spent my life chasing Him and trying to understand Him. And I want to see Him, Brian, in all of His glory when I get there. Amen? So I'm going to read you about the Father's gift this morning. This is not on the screen, so I'm just going to read it. Luke chapter 2. This is what the Father did for us on Christmas. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can we thank God for His greatest gift? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So how does Jesus represent the Father to us? I'm going to give you three ways. First of all, Jesus shows us that the Father loves unconditionally. That He loves unconditionally. It's difficult for us to grasp this as humans. because there's so many strings attached in our relationships. But with God, literally, when it comes to His love for you, there is no condition to that. He loves you unconditionally. Chicken Soup for the Soul had this story, and I thought it was appropriate for Christmas. A man writes about a Christmas when he was a boy. His mother was very poor and his father was deceased. And the mother had to wash windows for any income, and even the money was a paltry sum. And one day she had nowhere to leave him, so he had to go with her to work. And for 9 hours, she washed windows while he tried to find ways to entertain himself. She got her small amount of pay, and they started home in the dark toward their cold apartment. They passed a Christmas tree lot, and he troubled his mother to buy a Christmas tree. She, of course, explained the best she could that they had no money for a tree. She did reach down and pick up some loose branches which had been fallen or cut from the trees. The boy thought they were for the fireplace in the apartment, since that was the only way they had to keep warm. And that Christmas Eve night, he went to sleep under 5 or 6 blankets trying to stay warm. And in the night, he heard a noise, and he wondered if it might be Santa Claus. He slipped out from under the heavy covers and tiptoed across the extremely cold floor. And peeping through the doorway, he saw his mother with a broomstick she had cut off. And she had a knife in her hands and was poking holes in that broomstick and placing those Christmas tree clippings into the holes. And she had a blanket draped around her because it was so cold, and her breath could be seen each time she breathed. And in the corner were some broken toys she had tried to repair and which she had repainted. The boy slipped back to bed without his mother seeing him. But after he was grown, he never forgot that night. He remembered his mother making a homemade Christmas tree in that bitterly cold apartment just so she could try to make her son have a happy Christmas. The boy who became a man said, "After that night, I never had to ask my mother if she loved me. I had seen her love in action." I thought about that. We never have to ask God if He loves us, because we've seen His love in action. All we have to do is think about Calvary and the cross that He died upon, and we know that He loves us. He proved His love when He was born in the world on the wrong side of the track, through a virgin mother, lived a perfect life, died a vicarious death, rose a victorious Lord, ascended to heaven now, and is in eternity interceding for you and me. We never have to question how much He loves us. Even the psalmist said, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." I've heard that the apple of the eye is that black spot in the middle. It's the most precious. You'll protect it with everything in you. It's one of the most precious points on your body. And yet what's interesting, if you get close enough to someone, they can see their reflection in the apple of your eye. And if we get close enough to the Father, I hope people can see His reflection in my life. We never have to. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He said, "I pray for you that you would understand what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding." I pray that you guys just get a glimpse of this. It's love without performance. It's love. It's love in its purest form. He doesn't have love. He is love. For God is love. And when we get to understanding that, there's absolutely nothing we can do in our lives to change the love of God toward us. It's difficult for us to understand that, but His love doesn't change. His love is unconditional. Somebody lift your hand and say, "Thank God He loves me unconditionally." Second thing Jesus shows us about the Father is that He's always present. There's a name of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah, which is the same word we sang this morning, Yahweh. It's just a different way of constructing it in English. But there's that term, Jehovah, and it's connected to certain characteristics of God in the Old Testament. There's a Jehovah connected to the characteristic Rohi, which means God is my shepherd, or Jehovah Jireh, He is the God who provides, or Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness. But in Ezekiel, we see a name of God that's so powerful. It's Jehovah Shammah. And it means the Lord is there. Ezekiel was prophesying to a nation of idolatrous people. And he was saying, listen, though the presence of God is removed from us for the time being, there's coming a day when there will be an ultimate temple built. And in that temple, the name of the temple shall be called, the Lord is there. Or His presence is here. Or Jehovah Shammah. Now what's so powerful about this is if you read all through the Old Testament into the writing prophets, and then you see the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew, and all that was going on is that they were trying to restore Israel, the days of the Maccabees and all this. And then Jesus enters the earth on Christmas Day. He grows a little bit, and His parents, Mary and Joseph, take Him by the hand and lead Him down to the temple. That temple that Isaiah or Ezekiel was prophesying that would be renewed in the end times. They lead Him into that temple, and as He walks in, if you think about it, the glory of the Lord returned that day to the temple. People didn't know it, they didn't see it, they didn't recognize, but the glory was wrapped up in that little boy. And when He walked back into that temple, it could be said once again, the Lord is here. Can somebody shout amen? So you may be worried about what's going on tomorrow, what's going to happen in 2019? What's going to happen in February? Who's going to die in your family or close relations? Is this going to happen? Or am I going to have the same job or five? You know, you're worried about your future. And I don't know what's going to happen in your future. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you one thing. I know my God is already in your future. He is the Lord who is there, and He's already in 2019. He's already in 2020. He's already in 2030, hallelujah. Why? Because He's an eternally present God. And whatever we face, whatever comes, good, bad, ugly, God's going to be there working for us. He's a Father who's always present. Somebody shout amen. You know, as earthly dads, we fail, man. You know, I try to make certain events, but I fail sometimes. I mean, Sarah's probably in here, and I'll probably embarrass her with this, but so goes being a pastor's daughter. I had to play guitar one night at a big conference, and I'd committed to this, and Jackie had to play piano that night. So we committed to it, we did it, and we're at the conference. And lo and behold, Sarah became like homecoming queen that night, and we missed it. Because I'm playing guitar for a conference. And I thought, dude, I'm a terrible dad. But I got to watch it on Skype. Kyle and those guys were there cheering her on and Skyped me in the back room. I went in the back room and watched it, and I'm crying. We're not always there as earthly fathers. But you know what? The heavenly Father's there every time we call on Him. He's there every time we wake up. He's there every time we go to bed. He's there every time UK wins. Merry Christmas. Just God had to put that in there. I'm sorry, God. But He's there all the time. And the final thing that Jesus shows us about the Father is that the Father provides faithfully. The Father provides faithfully. If you look into the Old Testament, He gave Adam and Eve a perfect environment. He provided everything they needed in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because that's His heart. He provides faithfully for His people. Then even into all the way through the Bible. I mean, search it backwards and forwards all the way through. God is a God who wants to provide for His people. The only hindrance was the wickedness and hard-headedness of the people. But God is wanting to provide. He comes to Abraham, and Abraham's going to be the father of the Jewish nation. And He tells Abraham, He tests him one day, says, hey, take your son on a mountain, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. What does Abraham do? He's a man of faith. He takes his son, and they saddle up the horses, and they go all the way to the mountain. They march up this mountain, just Abraham and his son. This is his son that he'd prayed for. This is his son that he didn't have until he was 100 years old. He marches up on that mountain, and they're building the sacrificial altar, and Isaac's getting a little bit nervous. And Isaac looks around and says, hey, Dad, we have the wood, we have the fire, but what are you going to sacrifice? And we're not told how the rest of that conversation went. But there was a difficult conversation, I guarantee you, that happened. And Abraham's like, well, it's you. And Abraham lays his son on the altar, but Abraham told him something before this. I believe speaking out of faith, Abraham said, son, the Lord will provide. That's where we get Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. But nonetheless, he obeyed the Lord, set his son up on that altar, strapped him down. Neighbor Abraham pulled out the knife, raised the knife over his son, and the angel of the Lord appeared. Don't do it, Abraham! You've proven your faithfulness to God. And he looked over, and there was a ram for a sacrifice caught in the brush. God had already provided what Abraham needed. He was just waiting on the faithfulness of Abraham to release that provision God had for them. God has already provided, I believe, everything we need to do ministry and to live a life that He wants us to live on this earth. I don't believe God's trying to beat us down and trying to make us the lowest of the earth. I really believe God wants to bless and provide for us according to Scripture so that we can do what He's called us to do. If you look in the Israelites, they went 40 years in a wilderness journey, and the Bible says their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. Come on, you think Florsheim's good? It doesn't beat what they had on, amen? And God made it last. Guess what? They didn't need Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It says not one of them was sick among them for 40 years. God kept them in perfect. Why? Because He provided. When they wanted water, guess what God did? He provided a rock. Out of that rock came enough water to quench the thirst of arguably millions of people in the nation of Israel. Then when they wanted bread, God provided manna from heaven. Then they got sick of that. They complained, we want some meat on the table. So God said, I'm going to send you Kentucky Fried Chicken from heaven. I mean, here comes quail so much, it's so thick, they just have to go out there and get it. I mean, He provided at every turn. Why? Because He's a Father who provides faithfully. In the New Testament, when the disciples couldn't pay their tax bill, Jesus said, go fishing, and you're going to catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth is going to be a coin enough to pay the taxes. I think about the Old Testament story of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet prophesying during a tumultuous time with King Ahaz and his wife, or Ahab rather, and his wife Jezebel. And they were wicked people. But Elijah confronted them. And Elijah prophesied and he said, there'll be no rain. And God shut up the heavens, the Bible said. And there was no rain in the land. And then Elijah went up. He was a real mountain man. He went up by a creek, up in the hills. And he drank water from that creek. And God sent a raven to feed him. I mean, I picture it like this, like here's Bob and his family down at the beach in Tel Aviv area, and they're having cookouts, but they can't figure out who keeps stealing the ribeye. But while Bob turns his back, the raven just picks it up and takes it over to Prophet Elijah. It's good to imagine things, isn't it? But Elijah's been fed daily by this raven, drinking from the brook. Then the brook dries up. And God says, get down to a town called Zarephath. There you're going to meet a widow lady. He goes down to the town of Zarephath, and he meets this widow lady in Zarephath, and he says, hey, do you have anything to eat? She says, well, I have just enough meal and just enough oil to make one pone of cornbread. And he says, well, give it to me first. And she knew she gave it to him, there's none left for her and her son. But by faith, she cooked it for him first. And then every time that widow went back to her meal barrel, there was enough to make dinner for all of them. Every time. Why? Because she had been faithful, and she had been a person of faith, supporting what God wanted, and
found out that we serve a Father who is forever providing for His people. Hallelujah. Have you ever had some debts canceled? Doesn't it feel good? I mean, you're worrying yourself sick. You can't sleep at night. You're frantic over these bills. Then you find out one's canceled. You're like, yes, Jesus. I knew He would come through. Hallelujah. And you go to church like, I'm going to test it. And, or you ever get a check in the mail you weren't expecting? How many can be honest this Christmas season and wave at me and say, we need some unexpected checks coming our way because it's awful nice. Man, I'm going to pray this today. We're praying some debts be canceled. What if we were all out of debt? What if we were all out of debt? Man, we'd support missionaries, evangelists, church plants more than we do, exponentially increase. God, do it in Jesus' name. Let this be a debt-free church. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. Do it, God. Hallelujah. Come on, in Jesus' name. Show your power, God. Show your miraculous provision, God, in our house, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every family and every individual that they be blessed beyond measure so we can support the gospel around the world and get this thing done in the days that You've left us here on earth to get it done. I pray You bless the businesses. I pray You bless the employees. I pray You bless with ideas and concepts and money coming from places we never expected. Lord, we pray some debts canceled. We pray some checks coming in the mail. We pray some raises and bonuses. We pray some favor right now. You bless us coming and going. You bless us in the city and in the field, God. Hallelujah. We declare it over our church in Jesus' name. Come on, give Him a praise. He's a good, good Father. He's always home. He's always looking out for us. He's got that system on your car. I went to buy Alex a car, my youngest daughter. And if I'd spent a little bit more money, but I'm such a tightwad, I didn't. But if I'd spent a little bit more money, there's a car. And they said, now in this vehicle, there's a GPS system. And if you want to forbid your daughter to go to certain neighborhoods, it'll notify you if she enters those neighborhoods. Thinking, I like this car right here, man. And then if you have a certain curfew that she's supposed to be home at that curfew time, it'll send you a message. I'm like, the Father's got us pegged all the time. Amen. You go into the wrong neighborhood, there's a message. It's sent by the Holy Spirit, though, and it's sent to your spirit.
Danger, Will Robinson.
That's for the older people in here. And you may hear that, and if you keep putting it off, you're going to get more calloused and more calloused to that voice. You hear what I'm saying? But the Father is concerned. When your curfew comes due, the Father calls you home.
It's time to get home. Don't stop at the club.
I'm sorry. It's time. Come on, the Father loves us. How many know that your heart bleeds? If you have kids, man, your heart bleeds for those kids. If you think something's going wrong, if you think somebody's bullying them, I'll go down to that school and tell them, give them a piece of my mind. Well, keep your mind, please, and talk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Da, 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 da. You need to talk like a Christian. The Father loves us and the Father provides for us. Hallelujah. And the greatest evidence of that, the greatest proof of that is on Christmas. He didn't send us second best. He didn't send us hand-me-downs. He didn't send us third best. He didn't send us the garbage in the back of the lot. No, He got into His own family. Hallelujah. And He sent His Son down to earth, made of flesh, born of a virgin, seen in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, received back up into glory, Paul said. He gave us the very best He had. It's what it's all about. Somebody shout amen. Woo! Come on, let's stand in here and give God a praise in here this morning for how much He loves us and how much He's provided for us. Come on. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. How much do you love me, Lord? God told his people, you know how much I love you? Why don't you test me? He told them in Malachi, why don't you test me? Bring your tithes into the storehouse and let me show you how I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. You know what that means? I'm going back to the bank and I'm getting in the safety deposit box. I'm getting in the safety deposit box and I'm getting ready to pour out all that stuff I've got stored up. This is sounding wild on Christmas, but just hang with me. There was a man who had one of these experiences where you die and go to heaven and came back, you know, so we don't take it as scripture, but I'm telling you, this rocked my world. There was a guy who went to heaven in one of these near-death experiences, and he was a Christian, and he came back, and he said, I was taken to a compartment of heaven in which there were body parts. And he was told those were body parts for those who had faith on earth to ask. And God would come and heal them and change the heart, change the leg, change the kidneys, whatever needed a miracle, that God would come and do it. He has a storehouse in heaven that we don't know. We can't even scratch the surface of. Amen. And we're down here worrying, beating and banging when we don't realize how much the Father loves us. I'm going to tell one more story. I got thousands of stories. Y'all take one more? Okay, that's a majority vote. The yays win. R.W. Shambach. Ted Shuttlesworth's going to be with us in about 3 weeks. He worked under R.W. Shambach for 20 years. R.W. Shambach's one of the greatest men of faith and preachers America's ever seen. He said he preached revival up north. I think it was in Connecticut or somewhere. And he had this great revival, and people came, and hundreds got saved, and they packed this house. And he thought, man, I can't leave these people without a church. So he just believed that God would give him the building they were in. So he went outside and took that scripture from Joshua chapter 1 that I'll give every place the sole of your foot treads upon, I'll give to you. So he claimed that scripture and he went out and he marched around that building, said, God, I claim this building for this church. Then he made an appointment with the bankers and went to see them. And he walked in and he said, I want to buy that church. I want to buy that building, rather, going to start a church there. And the banker says, do you have any money? He didn't. He said, well, my father is loaded. I'm talking heavenly. My father is loaded. Miracle story. They got the building. A great church was planted there. He also started a church in Washington, D.C. that now Mark Batterson pastors. And Sarah went there a few months ago. I mean, it's amazing stuff. But somebody to walk in with nothing in their pocket and say, you know what? My father has it all. Come on, let's just point heavenwards and say our Father has it all. Come on, He has it all. Father, we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for everyone here this morning. And I pray, God, though they're going through this, maybe anxiety and can't afford this and can't afford that, the pressure of Christmas is here, maybe loneliness and relationships and all this, there's so many moving parts. Father, I pray right now, blessing, peace come in Jesus' name. Speak in this season right now, God. Let faith arise in their heart and let them see, God, who they are in you, in Jesus' name, that you have it all. Hallelujah. And we give you praise right now for what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for moving in the lives of each and every person here, God. Rectifying situations and repairing situations, God, and turning things around for their favor in the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, God, in advance, I give you thanks for souls coming to Christ tonight, God. I give you thanks that, God, you're going to fill this place tonight with people who need Jesus. And, God, I thank you for every note being anointed, every part sung being anointed, every move and every word spoken being anointed tonight, even the food being anointed, God. And I thank you that you're anointing Santa Claus tonight. Hallelujah. And, God, every part of this, that we see people's lives turned around in the name of Jesus, everybody can shout amen. One more prayer and we're going to dismiss. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not serving the Lord in this place this morning, then I'm going to ask you the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life. Are you ready to meet God? And if you're not ready to meet Him, there's no better time than now. Christmas 2018 to receive the Lord into your heart. And if you're in this building and you're not serving the Lord, but you want to surrender everything to Him, all I'm going to ask you to do is show the Father your faith and raise your hand this morning, and it's an acknowledgement to Him and me, and we're going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you, but just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me right now. I want to accept Jesus into my life. Thank you, guys. Maybe there's others who want to rededicate your life to the Lord and just say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. And I want to give my life afresh to God. I want to turn it over afresh to Him. Hallelujah. Come on, let's end this service this way. Everybody praying with me. Come on, we're going to pray as a church. And we're going to bring these individuals with us across the finish line right now. Come on, everybody in here. Father in heaven, thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you for providing. Thank you for providing salvation. And I accept your gift. I accept Jesus into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. Now help me, Lord, live the Christian life as I surrender my heart to you. Thank you for providing. Thank you for being present. And thank you for loving me without strings attached. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody can say amen. Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.